I was the FBI's lead international kidnapping negotiator. I handled the kidnapping negotiation strategy of every American kidnapped overseas. You might ask yourself, how often is Chris Voss busy when he's doing that? Well, it's a big world, and there are a lot of Americans doing stupid things in crazy places. Some of you in this room managed to get away with some of that. So we got it. Before the earthquake in Haiti, we've got just kidnapping is out of control. But it's dual nationals. They don't know they're grabbing Americans, which comes to be the case in many cases of Americans being kidnapped overseas. Bad guys think they got a local, happens to be a dual national. One of the great things about the United States of America, do you know how many countries in the world that you're a citizen of that country if you're born in that country? Like, I grew up thinking that was just natural and normal. Yeah, I was born here. Of course I'm a citizen. It must be that way everywhere. One other developed nation, Canada. Not one country in Europe. Not Australia. You think you're born in Australia, you're an American citizen, or Australian citizen, they'll laugh at you. It's a birthright that we take for granted. It's one of the great things about this country. The country's not perfect. A lot of good things about it. What does that have to do with this story? Haitian moms know that the very best gift they could potentially give their child on their child's first actual birthday is the gift of American citizenship. One way or another, Haitian moms, by hook or by crook, find themselves on American soil so the child can be born American citizenship and all the things that that immediately brings with it. So the kidnapping business model in Haiti at the time, this is before the earthquake, and kidnapping is a business. It's a commodities business. To us, it's horrible. To them, it's another day at the office. Understand the business that your counterpart's in, how they see it. How you see it doesn't matter. Wish it did, doesn't. It's a business in Haiti. Business model is, it's a great business model. Carjack a car with more than one person in it. Keep a car and a person. Let the other person go. They're going to let them know. They were in a car with them. They probably know who their family is. You can tell them they got kidnapped. If they got enough money for a car and gas money, they probably got enough money for a ransom. You got a car in Haiti at the time, you probably got some money. It's a great target for a kidnapping. What happens if, you know, the person you grabbed was one person in a family nobody likes? You still got a car.
Remember, you don't get in life what's fair, you get what you negotiate. If you want to become a better negotiator, click the link in the description below.
It's a great business model. And if there's a kid in there, even better. Family's more likely to pay. 12-year-old boy gets grabbed in a carjacking in Haiti. Father is not an American citizen, but he knows his son is, and he's told that the FBI is going to help him. Now, I don't know what went through his mind when he was told that the FBI was going to help him, but I could imagine that probably he figured maybe about 15 minutes later, he's going to hear on the front door, and Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones will be standing. You know, maybe they might have FBI hats on, who knows? Instead, 15 minutes later, he gets a call from some guy in Washington, D.C. Says his name is Chris Voss and he's going to help him. He literally says to me on the phone, "You're in Washington, D.C. How are you going to help me?" How long have I got before he hangs up? Seriously, what do you say? What do you say to this guy? How do you lay this out? How long before he hangs up? Maybe 10. Everybody you deal with, maybe less intensely, when they interact with you, says to themselves, "How are you going to help me?" They don't, with less intensity, but it's the same question, everybody that you interact with. It's not an unfair question to ask. How are you going to help me? Now, I've done this wrong before. How do I know what to say? Because I did it wrong before. Remember the first time I was in the Philippines on a kidnapping, which I'm going to tell you about in a couple minutes. I showed up, the FBI's expert, which pretty much at the time made me the expert for the United States government. And I'm walking to a room that in the Philippines, everybody below the president, everybody but the president of the Philippines is in the room. Secretary of Defense, president's personal advisor, all the cabinet members. Who are you? You know, why should we rely on you? And I make the mistake of trotting out my resume. FBI, this many years, trained, not only trained at Quantico, but But I teach at Quantico now. I wrote the book at Quantico. Lay out my resume, my experience. They might as well have yawned in my face. Because they've never seen me before. So I've made this mistake before. And you guys know, a resume correlates loosely with whether or not you know how to do a job. If your resume showed for sure that you could do a job, you'd never lose one. There'd never be a bad hire. There'd never be an employee that didn't work out. Correlates loosely with whether or not you know how to do the job. So what do I say to this father in Haiti? I got maybe somewhere between 3 and 10 seconds before the line goes there. This is what I said. All right, so Haitian kidnappers are not killing kidnap victims these days. I realize that's really stupid because they kill each other at the drop of a hat, but for whatever reason, they're not killing kidnap victims. Now, today is Thursday, and Haitian kidnappers love to party on Saturday night. If you say the things I want you to say and you do the things that I ask you to do, we'll have your son out by late Friday, early Saturday morning. He said, tell me what you want me to do. And we had his son out Saturday morning. Did I lay my resume out? Did I lay a strategy out? Did I begin to provide value? What's your value proposition? What I did was I showed him in less than 10 seconds that I saw what he was looking at. And I offered the slightest amount of insight into the dynamic. And anybody that you deal with, the first question they ask themselves is, do you see what I see? I didn't say, I understand. To try to shortcut the process. It doesn't take that much longer. It's a delay to save time. 10 seconds, 15 tops. Telling him in no uncertain terms, there's no doubt in his mind that I see what he sees. And I have the slightest, and if I see what he sees, the chances are that I got answers to it are very high. He never asked me how many kidnappings I worked. He never asked me how many kidnappings in Haiti I worked. The qualifier questions, how long you've been in this industry, what's your resume, how many times you've done this before. He didn't ask me how many kidnappings I'd worked in Haiti. He never asked me how many times I've been to Haiti. You know how many times I've been to Haiti? Never been to Haiti. He didn't ask me what languages I speak. Do you speak French? Do you speak Creole? You may ask yourself, Chris Voss, and I was the international negotiation coach, really. I coached negotiations all over the world. How many languages does Chris Voss speak? By now you realize the answer to that is almost one. Ain't a lot of languages in there. I'm happy with complete sentences. And don't hold me to the pronunciations. But I understand negotiations. I understand my negotiation skills. Here's the bad news for you. What's the bad news? It only works where people are involved. Won't work any other time. Because I get asked all the time, is it working real estate? Is it working media to media negotiations? You know, what stuff doesn't work? Doesn't work. It doesn't work where people aren't involved. So I'm going to talk to you get you out of a couple of bad habits real quick. What's hurting you the most in your negotiations? This is, you're addicted to yes. I mean, you got a bad addiction to yes. You didn't know it was that kind of a meeting, right? I am addicted to yes. Hi, Chris. Here's the problem with yes. We're all taught it's a goal. It's a goal at the end of the rainbow, where we want to go. Do you want to be a better negotiator? Would you like to make more money? Would you like to have more free time? Bigger house? Buy my book. Boom. Yes is always a trap. It's always a trap. I don't know if this ever was a good idea. Maybe there was a point in time that it was a good idea to get people into yes mode or mere agreement. The theory that if I get you saying yes to the little yeses, the chances are that you're going to say yes to the big yeses much higher. There's actually a study out there that says that that works. If you find out, if you hear there's a study that says something worked, take a hard look at the study. See if you agree with how it's done. But even better still, ask yourself, If you pick up the phone, 6 o'clock at night, I don't care what time it is, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and a person on the other end of the line says, would you like to make more money? You go, thank God you called. I've been waiting all day long for somebody to ask me that question. Somebody calls you on the phone and says, have you got a few minutes to talk? Well, nobody immediately says yes. Any question, there are three kinds of yeses: commitment, confirmation, and counterfeit. People have gotten us, try to walk us in to commitment yes so much with confirmation yes that the vast majority of us are good with counterfeit yes. That's all you ever hear, counterfeit yes. Nobody in my company or that I've trained ever calls people on the phone and says, have you got a few minutes to talk? Nobody. What does that do to you when somebody asks you that? It's at least four questions in one. If I have a few minutes, do I want to talk to you? If I have a few minutes, I don't want to talk to you, do I want to talk about what you want to talk about? How long is a few minutes? How do I get off the phone? The problem is, while all these questions are running through your mind, you're actually not listening to the other person. It's equivalent to talking to someone who has another person whispering in their ear, watch out, it's coming, you know, there's a hook. How long is this going to be? They're taking you somewhere. Be careful, be careful. That person is whispering in their ear all the time. So the very first thing you could do is get out of that. And believe me, that's going to be one of the hardest things you have to overcome. It's not complicated. It's really difficult to break that habit. I hope I'm getting you to the point where you're worried about that. So you might be asking yourself, all right, so now what am I supposed to do?